Mark chapter 1, if you'd take and turn your Bible there. I'm glad to be here. It really is true because the last few days I've just been battling, just not feeling well under the weather. And so I wasn't quite sure if I was going to be able to make it. I texted Pastor last night. I said, I think I've got the most strength that I've had for some time. I think I can make it. Then it hit me. I don't know what I'm going to do once I get there. I've been in such a fog, and when I got to the airport this morning, just getting my ticket information, she said, give me your phone number. I couldn't give her my phone number. I couldn't remember my phone number. And when I panic, I look guilty. And so all of a sudden, I'm making her nervous. She's making me nervous. And I said, just give me a moment. And she said, are you really Mr. Ingram? And I said, yes, look on the driver's license. She said, you don't look anything like your driver's license. And so I thought, hey, it's going to be an interesting trip. Then I got to the car line here at Milwaukee when I landed, and the same thing. Can I get your phone number? And I said, sure. I gave them my wife's number. And they said, we don't have that number on file. And I had to look it up on my own phone and give it to them. So we'll see how this turns out. I will blame it all on sickness at the end of this if it doesn't go well. But I'm just glad to be here. I'm glad I finally made it here and showed up. We're talking about men. I wonder if the group we're talking to here would be the leadership and the heads of the homes there at Falls Baptist Church. A lot of times, if you want to get right to the very nerve, the leadership, the heart, the head of the home, you'd have to go to a ladies' meeting. And it shouldn't be that way. But I wonder if what we're looking at here would be the head. That's the way God designed it. That's the way God would have it to be. And what we need is to recognize this matter of being a man is something that God came up with. And in the midst of the white noise of our culture and the silence of our churches, we've lost sight of what that looks like. And I think we've accepted and we've allowed things that God wouldn't necessarily tolerate if we were really, truly getting a hold of His heart and understanding His intent and the design of this gender, this species of being a man. I remember reading not too long ago, which I thought was interesting, in 1744, the College of William and Mary sent a letter to 6 Native American chiefs offering a free education to 12 of their young braves. Well, these chiefs politely declined the offer, and they gave the reason. These chiefs said, several of our young people were formerly brought up at the colleges of the northern provinces. They were instructed in all your sciences, but when they came back to us, they were bad runners, ignorant of every means of living in the woods, unable to bear cold or hunger, knew neither how to build a cabin, take a deer, or kill an enemy, spoke our language imperfectly, and were therefore neither fit for hunters, warriors, or counselors. They were totally good for nothing. So the chiefs then, they made their own appeal. They said, quote, if the gentlemen in Virginia will send us a dozen of their sons, we will take care of their education, instruct them in all we know, and make men of them. I believe that that's the kind of letter that the church ought to be able to send out to the males in our areas. I believe that's what our Bible fellowships ought to be able to state and make an appeal that we can take and show from the Bible how one could be a man, and not just a man, because a man obviously can live this life and achieve a lot of accomplishments and never even make it to heaven. And so it's not just being a man's man, but being God's man. And I believe that we have the ingredients, and we have what God would have us to have, and we've been introduced to these things, but sometimes it takes a concentrated dose and emphasis for us to be reminded. And so thinking about this matter of men, my mind has been captivated in recent weeks with Teddy Roosevelt. This just took place in your backyard in October of 1912, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Teddy Roosevelt was campaigning for the White House when a would-be assassin shot him point blank with a .32 caliber, and the bullet lodged 2 inches deep in his chest. But that didn't stop him from making his speech. He said, "The bullet is in me now so that I cannot make a very long speech." But he continued for 53 minutes. He was an evangelist, I'll tell you that. And by the time he was done, he was standing in a pool of his own blood. Teddy was a tough guy. And it's one of those reasons why I have been increasingly fascinated with him. Listen to some of the things that would go on his resume of manliness. He rode a moose. He took down an armed cowboy during a barroom brawl. He crossed a frozen river to chase boat thieves. He worked a ranch in the Dakotas. He flew a Wright Brothers airplane. He scaled the Matterhorn in the Swiss Alps. He went on month-long African safaris. He navigated uncharted parts of the Amazon River. He led the charge up Kettle Hill during the Battle of San Juan. He set up a boxing ring in the White House so he could spar with anybody who dared to get in the ring with him. And he was even known to go skinny dipping in the Potomac River while president of the United States. And they said that's just the tip of the iceberg. One of his biographers, Edmund Morris, called what Teddy Roosevelt had an inhumane energy. His description of Roosevelt's nightly ritual to me is classic. Here we just saw this rough exterior of a man. But he was also a man who exercised his mind. He said that the president each night would brush his teeth, jump into bed, put his revolver beside his pillow, and he read a minimum of one book per night. He said he averaged 500 books a year. And then they said he'd read his one book per night. Then, there being nothing further to do, Theodore Roosevelt would energetically fall asleep. It seems like a different era. But I think that what we can recapture is entirely possible. That is being a man. And I am not one who would ever have the resume of anything external when it comes to the manliness category. I would be one of those unhandy men. In fact, we have a toolbox. Somebody comes over to fix something, they'll say, "Pastor, do you have a toolbox?" And I say, "Sure." But actually, it's my wife's toolbox. It's not my toolbox. I would be given tools at times for Christmas, and I would ask her, "Is this a keeper?" She said, "That's a keeper, and we keep it." Otherwise, I don't know what to do with it. It is an embarrassment, but I'm just going to be honest and transparent. When we were courting, we were en route to a service and had a flat tire. And I stepped out. I was looking at the flat tire, and I was thinking over it and praying about it. And I pulled the stuff out of the back, and I had it all laid out. And I'm trying to examine this and just trying to make a good go of it. And I noticed this light over my shoulder. And this was back, 25 years ago when the video cameras were big. And my wife to be was videoing with the light shining. She's documenting this. And she asked the question, "Do you know what you're doing?" I said, "I've seen this done a couple of times." And then she proceeded to tell me how to change the tire, and we successfully changed the tire together. I am not a handy person. But I still think we can achieve being men of God. You've heard the story, no doubt. Missionaries Jonathan Roslin Goforth arrived in China in March of 1888, and their assignment was a difficult assignment to open a new field in the northern section there in the province. And this young couple at that time, they were struggling to learn the language. They were struggling to adjust to the climate, raising a large family, and in a very difficult scenario. They were met with many discouraging challenges, including the death of a child. One day, a letter arrived from Hudson Taylor, who was then a pioneer with China Inland Mission. And he wrote them and he said, "We understand North Honan is to be your field. We as a mission have tried for 10 years to enter that province from the south and have only just succeeded. It is one of the most anti-foreign provinces in China." And then he said what we've heard so many times. Taylor said, "Brother, if you would enter that province, you must go forward on your knees." The Goforths took Taylor's advice, and prayer became their strongest tool. With persistence and prayer, they mastered the language. People began responding to their message of a loving Christ. A female convert filled the Goforths' need of an assistant Bible teacher for women because they learned how to advance on their knees. I believe what we need this year in 2021, and I know so many were excited to get out of 2020, but humanly, I don't know why we would be thinking 2021 could be any different. I mean, we could have all the same challenges and obstacles. What we need is more than a turning of the page of a calendar. We need what Taylor was suggesting, what the Goforths got a hold of, and that is, if we're going to advance in the area of our lives, in the area of our ministry and our responsibility, we have to go forward on our knees. If we establish a prayer routine, our lives will be anything but routine. We can go places, do things, meet people. We can experience things, your business, your family, your doings, your meetings. They can incredibly explode. And I'm not talking about humanly making things happen. What I'm talking about is if we can make up our minds to truly go forward and seeking God, God is the one who can make all these other things happen. I was having lunch with a lieutenant or assistant police of chief there in our city, and I just was talking about this the night before on a Wednesday night to our church, and that is, when it comes to seeking God, you know, so often people would say it's not what you know, it's who you know. And I mentioned that, and I said that that's why we've got to seek God, because there's not a person he doesn't know. There's not a situation he can't get us into. There's not an opportunity that he can't crack open. Just mentioned that on the Wednesday night. On Thursday, I had that lunch with the assistant police of chief chief of police, and he said to me, "Here's something you need to do. Here's something I think would be a help." And he said, "After all, it's not what you know, it's who you know." And I said that I believe that, but I believe that you're not going to get me into a better situation than what God could put me into. And when we get to the point, we recognize that if we're really going to go forward and see our marriages go forward and our families go forward and our children go forward, if we see our own lives go forward, we have to recognize it's not going to happen by doing a shortcut in this area of advancing on our knees. Don't worry about trying to meet the right people. You meet with God, He'll make sure you meet the right people. There's one degree of separation between you and the best opportunity. It's God. It's getting to God. If God can change the heart of Pharaoh, He can help you find favor with anybody and everybody. Let God do your promoting. Let God do your networking. And I'm not talking about this passivity here either. I'm talking about an active participation in cooperating with God. Remember when Moses got impatient and he took matters into his own hand? He killed an Egyptian taskmaster. What happened? He didn't hurry the process. He actually slowed it down. Sometimes we think we're gonna help God out. It actually slows the process down. That's what happens when we try to do God's job. It's unbearable. When we try to make things go faster, we tend to slow it down. We try to make things go easier. We actually make them harder. Don't try to manufacture God's own miracles. Don't try to answer your own prayers. Don't do God's job. Stay humble. Stay focused. Stay recognizing that my responsibility is to go forward in cooperation and dependence upon God. I agree with Matthew Henry, who said, prayer is the key of the morning and the bolt of the evening. And what we need to do is recognize that it's the lack of bold prayers. It's the lack of getting a vision. I think when my prayers are not bold, it's because my understanding is darkened. My vision is cloudy. Bold prayers honor God because God honors bold prayers. God isn't offended by big prayers. He's offended by anything less than big prayers. If your prayers are not impossible to you, if your prayers are not impossible to you, I think that they're an insult to God. If your prayers are within the possibility of what you can do, then why would you pray to God? This isn't a work that we're doing. It's not a religious activity. It's understanding the only way we're going to go forward and advance is advancing the way Taylor and Goforth suggested, and it's upon our knees. We want to be able to enter into the realm of that which is impossible. That's where God does the miracles. Because if we don't get into the realm of the impossible, it doesn't require divine intervention. But you ask God to part the Red Sea. You ask Him to make the sun stand still. You ask Him to make the iron head, axe head float. And God is moved to omnipotent and powerful action. There's nothing God loves more than keeping His promises. There's nothing that God delights in more, perhaps, than answering His own promises, performing miracles, fulfilling the dreams that He put within your heart through the lens of Scripture. That's who He is. That's what He does. And the bigger the prayer, the better, because God gets the glory for it. The greatest moments in life are the miraculous moments when your weakness and mine, it intersects with divine omnipotence. And they intersect when we get a hold of the very promises of God and we get a hold of the very nature and character of God. Listen, God is waiting. God is ready. God is not reluctant to go forward with you through this weekend and beyond. God is longing to take you by the hand and to take you as the great heavenly Father, loving Father that He is, and to be able to pull back the curtain this weekend and show some of the areas of blind spots and frailties and weaknesses and deficiencies, maybe sin, maybe areas of defeat, maybe things that have been holding you back and hurting you. And God wants to deliver. He wants to show us. It's absolutely imperative at the outset that you come to terms with this simple yet life-changing truth. God is for you. God is for every man in here. God's for you. He's not against us. If you don't believe God is for you, you're going to remain praying small, timid prayers. But if you believe that God is for you, you're going to end up praying big, audacious prayers. And one way or another, your small, timid prayers or your big, audacious prayers, it's going to change. It's going to change the trajectory of your life. Listen, why would you want to go just so far when you can go really far with God? Why would you want your trajectory to go in a way in which you look back over time, and if you could look back and see what's going to happen to your children and grandchildren because of the small prayers, and you stand and think, why did I do that? When our God is not, he didn't lose any energy. He didn't lose any sweat. He was more than willing and eager to part the Red Sea for us and step into our lives because he's for us. Sometimes I think he's for them and he's for that person, but he wouldn't be for me. No, God is for you. God is for each and every one of us. You tell me your prayers you pray, and we can predict your spiritual future. Someone said that prayers are actually prophecies. They show us the trajectory of where we're going. When you become, who you become is determined by how you pray. And you and I are writing the transcript of our prayers, a transcript of our life by our prayers. So, how would God have us advance in this retreat? And there's so many things, and I know we say advance and retreat, you know what we're talking about, and this is, I know this is extremely simple. But I think what helped me and continues to help me in understanding how to advance in my life and as a father, as a husband, as a man, in the same way you will be able to advance as well on our knees, is to look and do it the same way Jesus did it. Jesus being fully God, we've been able to write him off at times and think, that's why he was able to do it, because he's God. But remember, here upon this earth, fully man. And he did what he did in his form of a man, in his human body, so that you and I could understand, if Jesus did what he did spiritually and took upon him the disciplines that he took upon himself, then how much more should we? When we talk about going forward on our knees, that's in contrast to going forward standing up. Just simply meaning we can do it ourselves. We can dream our own dreams. We can plan our own plans. We can strategize ourselves. We can make it happen. We can put our own energy into it. Or we can do it upon our knees, recognizing we can't do it. God has to do it. And I think we understand the difference there. But notice in Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. How did Jesus go about his Father's business? And how are we? In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, the Bible says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he, Jesus, went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed." Now, if Jesus found it necessary to start his day in prayer, who are we to start out our day without prayer? Our minds are more fresh and at their best early in the morning. Now, I know that's debatable at times, but typically that would be the case. Before the distractions of the day come, before the challenges of the day, head them off with prayer. Go forward with God on your knees in the morning. Jesus did. Besides that, prayer in the morning, it sanctifies the rest of the day. It helps prepare us for the battles that are to come. John Bunyan said it this way: prayer will make a man cease from sin, or sin will entice a man to cease from prayer. Prayer sets God at the center of your attention. Prayer sets the tone for the day. That's why I so am thankful for the hour with God. Let God be your focus in the morning, and he'll be your focus throughout the day. Advancing on our knees begins first thing in the morning, getting alone with God. And that kind of start will give you victory before that first obstacle comes, before that first opportunity comes. The secret place of prayer is the place to fight our battles and to gain our victories. And how we need to discover throughout 2021 that prayer is the key of the morning and the bolt of the evening. Jesus did advance his Father's business on his knees, and he did so early in the morning. He also advanced his Father's business on his knees sometimes throughout the night. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, the Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that Jesus went out into a mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God." Not just in the mornings, but he advanced his father's agenda and business on his knees throughout the night. There were times in his life that he spent the entire nights given to prayer. My question is, what was happening in his life that he saw it necessary to pray all night? And are there any occasions in your life to cause you to pray throughout the night? Well, let's see, what was Jesus praying about? What decisions was he facing in Luke chapter 6 that calls him to seek his father's face all night in prayer? Well, we know in verses 12 through 17, he spent an entire night in prayer before he chose the 12 men who would be closest to him, and also naming the apostles. He spent nights of prayer to God, followed by days of power with men. When you find yourself faced with major decisions, do you set a time aside and just seek God? Devote an entire night to prayer. I used to read about and hear about some of the older preachers talk about the all-night prayer meetings. I've not been a part of one of those in a long, long time. And I don't think it's because I don't have any real need. It's just because I think we get so careless and we get so crowded out in our thinking and we don't really go forward on our knees quite as much as we would like to think. You're going to have to lay everything before God and hear from Him. You're going to have to pray through some things. You don't have to lay down any rules per se, but it's just saying, I know it's an inconvenience, but shouldn't that be what prayer is helping us deal with, is the convenient factor that we're so accustomed to? Jesus advanced his father's business early in the morning. He advanced his father's business on his knees early in the morning, sometimes through the night. But we also find that Jesus prayed always before major events. We find that in Luke chapter 6 and verse number 13. And the Bible tells us in that same context of him praying all night in verse 12, verse 13, when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. So he prayed before major events. He prayed before choosing the 12. We mentioned that. He prayed before the Sermon on the Mount. He prayed before being tempted by Satan. He prayed before heading to the cross. He prayed before every important event. He spent a season of time in prayer. That's why I pray before I preach. That's why I pray before I give the gospel. That's why I pray before important meetings at church. That's why we pray, and you should pray before giving a lesson, before you sing a special or play a special. That's why you should pray before you engage in giving the gospel to somebody. In fact, I pray before our prayer meetings, because everything I see to be of such value, we need to seek God. I seek God about the matter of seeking God. When you see an important event coming, you see a crisis looming, prepare for them the way Jesus prepared for them, by a season of prayer to God. So often, however, we just limit. We look at what we're facing and think we'll just do the best we can. That's not going forward on our knees. Don't be like the fisherman who is out fishing with his friends, and one day in every time he caught a fish smaller than 10 inches, he would take it off the hook and he would throw it back in. And finally, one of the buddies asked him why he kept throwing his fish back into the water that were smaller than 10 inches. He said, "Well, it's because all I have is a 10-inch frying pan. That's all I can handle." Well, don't limit your prayers. Don't limit the power and the victories this year with a 10-inch frying pan of faith. You say, how do I increase my faith this year? You know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. And we need to understand that going forward on our knees is cooperating with God, being in deliberate dependence upon God. What do you have coming in your life this week, this month, this year? Or something that's already come that you need God's direction? You have a family issue that requires a decision. You have a spiritual issue that requires a decision, maybe a business venture, a physical condition, a moral situation, a financial burden, we have no excuse not to go forward. I'm looking for God to lead us, our churches, our men. Here in this room, we have more than enough men in which God can do an awakening kind of work. He's looking for leaders, not the titles. You don't have to graduate to be a leader. You just go to your knees. We seek God. We need mental toughness, yes. We need spiritual passion, yes. And we can see God reverse the trends that have been destroying our country. But what we need would be leaders, men who are convinced, I can go to my knees and get a hold of God, and God can come down and God can begin to change and adjust and awaken my family, my life, and begin to see the impossible, humanly impossible, done. It's one of the things I love about the Christmas story, that the whole message of Christ's birth, it is couched in the midst of the humanly impossible. That's what's so beautiful about it, is that Jesus is coming in on the scene in the midst of a humanly impossible scenario. Impossible for a virgin to be with child. Impossible for John the Baptist to be born of a woman who's past childbearing age. And yet the message of that is, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And the Lord Jesus lives his life trying to communicate that he is the God of the impossible. And he gives us so many promises. And Paul and the writers of the New Testament pick up that sentiment. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. We need leaders who will not give up or give in, but be determined to make disciples for Christ this year. And then, having driven down that stake, that I'm going to see God lead me and develop me in these areas and bring others along, we're going to go forward on our knees. It may mean changing your current way of doing things. It may mean rethinking, readjusting your plan. It may mean starting all over. But prayer packs a punch. It sends a tremor down the enemy's spine. It puts courage in the weak need, and it takes the worry out of life. It'll resurrect the fallen, and it'll revive the discouraged. Only God can open up closed doors, and only God can give us courage to face impossible situations. God's ear is always tilted toward earth, ready to hear. He's just waiting for someone that will call unto him. God clears our paths of obstacles in unexpected ways, and we press forward on our knees. Go forward on our knees is good advice, not just for missionaries on foreign fields, but for ordinary people like you and me. And that's the same thing Jesus displayed. Follow his example in looking for what God wants in my life, looking for what God wants to correct and adjust. I believe there's some things that God wants to speak to me about. I believe there's some things that God wants to rearrange. And I believe the best way to be able to find and to hear in this atmosphere that we have is going to be on our knees, and doesn't necessarily, I hope you understand, we're not talking about always upon our actual knee, but the bending of our heart and will to him. And if we will allow God to be God in these hours that we have together, I believe God is going to do something that we can look back on and say that this was a time in which God was on the move, and I listened. And when we listen and we trust and we obey, then God will be able to get the glory for it. Lord, I do pray that you'd help. We want to be men. We want to rise up as men of God and be done with lesser things. And I pray that you'd help us to see that you're here, you're waiting, you're wanting, to meet with us so much more than we want to meet with you. And I, Lord, I know in my mind is still fuzzy and just trying to be able to think, but yet I know that you're wanting to work powerfully. Lord, I know that you're wanting to speak to my own heart. You've got things on your plan and agenda for my family, for my wife and my children that I'm responsible for. Lord, I know that every man in here, every single young man and every married man, every father, every son, you have an agenda, you have a plan. And just as Jesus, you went forward carrying forth your Father's agenda upon your knees, would you just get it into our hearts and minds that if we've not been doing so well in this area of our time with you and entering into your presence, that this weekend it could be a new start. I pray that we'd see a revival of entering back into your presence. And I do ask that you would meet with us. In your name we pray this.